Welcome to a very special NRL Live episode, number 33, the off-season edition, with the CEO, the new CEO announced. Some of you are asking, who are you? David Smith. We're going to talk about all that and more right now. Yes. NRL Live here for a very special off-season edition. CEO David Smith announced we're going to talk pros and cons. Are you for? Are you against? We've also got the shoulder charge rule change. How's that going to come across and be implemented? It will be a new referee's boss that will implement it in Daniel Anderson. We'll discuss that. Let's take a look at the NRL draw. It's finally out too. And, of course, ownership. What a huge change there is at the moment going on. Russell Crowe's announced that he's going to pass South Sydney over next year. And we're going to talk about that. And Nathan Tinkler, he is the owner of the Newcastle Knights. He's in a lot of financial hardship right now. How is that going to affect clubs' abilities to exist? We're going to talk players. Israel Folau, Sonny Bill Williams. There are a couple of big names that are coming back to rugby league this year. Will Quade Cooper follow? The salary cap changes. What will happen? We're still waiting. Plus, the new coaches of the Tigers and the Warriors we'll discuss, and other off-season moves. And don't forget World of Sport. Tigers MS is with us as always. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. How are you?
I'm doing well. Now, I've got to say, Pete is supposed to be with us. He's running a little bit late, so hopefully we'll get him before the end of the show. But we need to move right on with it because so much has happened this off-season already, Tigers MS. And, well, the CEO, David Smith, announced quickly a quick little resume on him. He's Welsh-born, a banker. He doesn't have any history in rugby league, although he did play rugby union. He's the current Lloyds International Chief Executive and a former director of Bank of Scotland Treasury. He's got an engineering background and has spent time previously with Deutsche Bank and UBS. So he will be remaining with Lloyds Banking Group until February the 1st when he takes up his new job as the ARL's new chief executive. Actually, he was a former soldier in the British Army as well, and he's quoted as saying he's absolutely thrilled to be part of the rugby league family, and the role has everything I could want, and I'm really looking forward to getting started. I think I've got the best job in Australia. In the meantime, Shane Matusky will continue as the interim ARLC chief executive. Tigers MS, what do you think about the decision? A relatively unknown, that is for sure, as the new CEO of NRL.
Yeah, totally unknown, but seems like he knows his way around a business. Lloyd's isn't a small company. Mm. It's pretty large, and the fact that he's in such control of, you know, of that, of the, you know, overseas branch, of the Australian branch, says a lot. I think he knows money. He doesn't know the sport. That may or may not help. I'm not sure. I'm sure in some ways it will help him that he doesn't know the sport or doesn't have any kind of prejudices, perhaps, one way or the other. And otherwise, yeah, it might be a problem when they're dealing with some common sense issues. I do have an issue with him, though, and it's not with him, but he will have to contend with the chairman, John Grant. Mm. I think he sticks his nose in where it's not needed quite a bit. And, yeah, hopefully he's a strong CEO and, tells the dude to go back to the boardroom and be the chairman there, not the chief executive officer that oversees everything.
Well, that's a very good point. Do you think that someone with David Smith's bio and resume would be more suited to be on the commission rather than the CEO, as some have suggested?
No. I think CEO is probably good for him. I'm looking at, and obviously perhaps the board was looking at NRL now as a business. They've rebranded it, so to speak, as a business, as a product, and them. And you mentioned before them making rule changes, that kind of thing. So I think they're trying to position it for a future shot.
Yeah, well, it will be interesting. Another thing that you mentioned is about is something that came up during the press conference. Essentially, is David Smith going to be just simply a stooge to John Grant?
Well, you'd hope not, but I'm sure the current one, I'm sure Shane Matzke is. I mean, he really had was on a hiding nothing. He just had to be the figurehead, so to speak. But look, I'm quite happy with it. I don't think it needs to be an ex-player or, you know, someone with a rugby league background at all. He knows business, so let's see if he can move it forward in that kind of manner.
Yeah, look, I'm not as excited about it as, or I guess excited is not the right word, but as happy about it as you are. I think that they went in the wrong direction. I thought they needed someone with a rugby league background. If you look at the commission, really only Wayne Pearce is on it with significant rugby league background. I guess you could include John Grant himself as well, but you've already got the commission set up that should be able to deal with the different issues outside of the game. It would have been better to see someone maybe with a little bit more experience within rugby league. David Moffat, of course, past CEO, was a rugby union man from New Zealand, and he struggled with it. Now, if Moffat's going to struggle with it, who still understood sport, who still understood perhaps that culture from down this part of the world, I don't see how someone that couldn't even name Cameron Smith or Jonathan Thurston is going to be able to do the role. He's going to be hit with so many left of field issues during his time. I just wonder whether he'll be able to grasp it, unless, of course, he sidesteps a lot of these issues, concentrates solely on the business side, and lets John Grant look after more of the reactive stuff, as John Grant himself suggested David Gallup did, that does come up in our game, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, that could be it. I'm not sure how the CEO works with a chairman. Maybe that is it. Maybe one side's operations and the other side is financial.
And that is how a lot of sporting organisations do work, at least in the framework of maybe privately owned clubs, like in America with the NFL, for example. The general manager will look after the footballing operations, the CEO will look after the business side. So it will remain to be seen how it does play out, but it does look like that with the skill sets of the two gentlemen involved, that it could follow a similar path. And adding to that, I guess, Tigers MS, is of course a rule change that was announced prior to David Smith's announcement, and that is the shoulder charge rule change. We spoke about it during the year because there were some whisperings and some murmurs that it could occur, but probably happened quicker than either of us would have expected.
Yeah, it did. Shoulder charge. I think that they've probably gone down the path of the please don't sue me. Because they've come out and they've said, you know, the recommendations say that, you know, we should look after player safety, which is good. But I think what they're really looking after, and in essence, it's all about protecting the NRL from future lawsuits. So they're really trying to shore up the brand, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think future lawsuits would be an issue. They do have some medical opinion. That's why I guess it's suggesting that shoulder charges are contributing to the concussions and also the chronic traumatic endoscopy. I think I've pronounced that completely wrong, but the
I'm going to leave it up to you.
Yeah, the CTE, and which is basically the trauma from multiple head hits that they've discovered that's occurring in the US in particular, and also is something that we did talk about earlier in the year in our podcasts that have been suffered, unfortunately, by a couple of players, at least a couple that have been diagnosed here. In that regard, it makes sense. I still don't understand why they couldn't follow the simple method of attacking the head of an opponent, we're going to come down really hard on.
Yeah, that to me seemed the simplest way.
Yeah, it is an odd adjustment. I know rugby union always went that way, you'll get your Peter Fitzsimons come on and say, you know, you're a Neanderthal if you still want to see the shoulder charge. That's really making it very black and white. It is not that black and white. There were other options they could have taken. They've decided to follow rugby union's lead. We're stuck with it for now. We'll see how it plays out. Probably not going to go back, let's face it.
No.
So we're just going to have to live with the shoulder chargeless game.
And to be honest, I don't think it's going to lose a whole lot of viewers through that decision. Like, there might be a lot of people upset, but it's not going to make them stop watching.
Well, there was a lot of tweets from a lot of players very upset, but none of them are going to hand in their paycheck and,
no, exactly,
and
right,
stop playing. And I think it's pretty much the same, like you say, with fans. I mean, not going to stop watching. So they probably figured that out and decided, let's do it now and hope it blows over as quick as possible.
Yeah, a smart idea doing it in off-season.
Now, the new man that will be looking after not only the shoulder charge decision, but all referees' decisions, is former Parramatta and Warriors coach Daniel Anderson. What do you think about him being named the new referees' boss?
Well, I think it's always interesting, especially having someone like Daniel Anderson from a coaching background, who's then going to... you know, put the interpretation and say, this is how we're going to interpret this rule or that rule. Or, where I think, basically, I mean, we'll have to wait and see how he tends to do it. But just hopefully Danny Anderson will just simplify everything.
Yeah, it definitely
Instead
got too technical.
Yeah, separation, non-separation, you know, fingertip control, all that kind of stuff. Mm. Basically, hopefully he just breaks it down to be, if it looks like a knock-on, it probably is a knock-on. If it looks like a try, it probably is a try.
Exactly.
And just one more thing, I just hope, yeah, just hope it's no, hope he just gets rid of the benefit of the doubt and that's it. Like, just say it's a try or it's not a try.
It'll be interesting to see. Bill Harrigan did come out before he got sacked, or it might have been just after, to say that they did abandon the benefit of the doubt for grand final day, even though that wasn't announced, that privately that was never going to be a decision that benefited the doubt on grand final day. So it'll be interesting to see if that continues into next year. Now, I did like the idea of having a referee in charge of the referees in Bill Harrigan, but admittedly, perhaps the other side of it, the more media side of it, the press side of it, got to Bill Harrigan. Even though he was nicknamed Hollywood, he still, that kind of exposure was very different, even for a referee of his high standing during his days as a referee on field. So putting Daniel Anderson in charge, looking after that, seems to be a smart move, with the fellow appointing of Russell Smith and Tony Archer, believe it or not, to be the actual referees' coaches, through the one-on-one coaching, that is. Archer and Smith will report directly to Daniel Anderson. Daniel Anderson will look after the more strategic position, development programs, referees, and the grassroots programs. He also wants to use more current referees in the video box, so I guess you might referee on Friday night and then be in the video box on Sunday, which makes sense.
Yeah.
The referees are full-time.
Which makes perfect sense.
They should be refereeing. Honestly, with the two-referee system, there's no reason why the guy during the Friday night game, or in the case of the first few weeks, the Thursday night game, can't back up on the Monday, and then someone else does it the following week. You'd get a better standard of referees doing that.
Yep.
Because you wouldn't have to go into the depth as much. They're getting paid full-time. They should be able to do two games in a week, I believe, or at least three games in 2 weeks, so they're not getting too much. But definitely with Archer and Smith, Archer retiring, so they're going to have to find a referee of his standard, which won't be easy. Guys like Ben Cummings and Shane Hayne will have to step up even a little bit further, or perhaps you're looking a little bit further afield as to who's going to take that role, because Archer, definitely the top referee in the game over the last few years, but he's moving into the coaching side of it now. Let's keep moving on. The NRL draw, I just spoke about Thursday night games. Well, there's going to be four of them in the first four rounds, plus the Anzac Day clash between the Storm and the Warriors in round seven. And of course, Sunday evening, 6:30 games have also come onto the calendar. They look like they're going to be in most of the first six rounds, but then they'll disappear, or be a bit more sporadic, should I say, through the sort of State of Origin period. And We don't know what's going to happen in the final six rounds because we only know up to round 20. There's some controversy with the NRL draw already being ported out. Manly, for example, have 7 Monday Night Football games. Now, Monday Night Football is notorious for being difficult to back up on. They've got 7, so it's going to be a tough year for the Eagles, you'd think. The West Tigers, synonymous with Leichhardt on a Sunday afternoon. Well, there'll be no Sunday afternoon at Leichhardt this year. And then, of course, Brisbane, which we kind of already knew, they're exclusive or almost exclusive on Friday night. Tigers MS, what do you make of the NRL draw for 2013?
Okay, so the good part is that there is Thursday night football to start the year. I think it's a really good idea. It's definitely a good TV idea, at the least. Like, it'll get massive ratings. Don't know how Channel 9 are going to go actually showing us 2 live games a week on the Thursday and the Friday. They might just have a program of ads after it or something. I don't know. But overall, and you may need to hose me down, but it's terrible. It couldn't have been a worse draw if they're actually trying to make it the worst draw.
Yeah.
It's just further proof to the article I wrote last year when the TV deal was done that TV had taken over. The thing is, it's just basically the scheduled draw has just confirmed what everyone thought, which is there is no equity in the TV broadcasts and nothing has essentially changed. It's just gone, okay, Canberra Raiders, for example, you're still only getting 1 game because no one watches you on TV, and that's just it. We're not even going to try and show you on TV if you play a good game. You know, we're not even going to give you that chance. It's just, it's a disgrace, I think. I think the draw is horrible, and I cannot wait until these 5 years are up.
It'd probably be a long 5 years. Look, I don't mind TV having their say in regards to the TV games. Ultimately, that's what they're paying the money for. They should get to choose. It's very hard to say, look, you know, you've got to put every team on TV the same amount of time. What I do have an issue with is look at round 1. Where are the big games? The Rabbitohs versus the Roosters is the opening day clash or opening of the season. That's hardly a game breaker. You've got the team that finished 1 game out of the grand final, fair enough, against a team who is a rival but didn't even make the 8 last year. So you look at the other games and think, well, maybe they've chosen the wrong one. Broncos Eagles. Yeah, it's all right. Eagles Warriors. That's a dud. Bulldogs Cowboys. It's a pretty good game, but probably not the one you'd put at your opening game of the season. Panthers, Raiders, Storm, Dragons, Sharks, Titans, Knights, Tigers. They're all duds. The first round should be littered with huge matchups. And you've got 2, maybe 3, and they're not even
first round
great
should have
ones.
A grand final replay.
Look, I don't
and
mind.
And it should have at least 2 rivalries.
Yeah, I don't mind if they don't have a grand final replay or rematch, as I prefer to call it, because it's essentially not a replay. But, but because you can always then target that a little bit later in the year. But definitely have 1v4 or 2v3 or 1v5. Have something with a bit of...
How about like perhaps if they had a... who were Manly playing in the first round?
Manly will play the Broncos, so that will be a decent game.
That doesn't make sense if Manly have played North Queensland, perhaps, after that controversial game.
That's exactly right. If you've got a game like that, Bulldogs versus Souths.
Yeah, the
Adam
first
Reynolds
round you can
back.
Do anything with, because you don't have to draw it randomly.
It's
you can
crazy.
Just say, this is the first round, and this is the games we're picking.
Well, we can talk now a little bit more about the NRL draw with St. Peter. Pete is with us now. How are you, mate?
Excellent. Great to hear.
Well, mate, we're just talking about the NRL draw. Can you fill us in as to what your thoughts are on it?
Well, mate, I'm still not happy with it. You know, it is owned by television. There's no doubt about that. Channel 9 have paid the big bucks to get the footy for another few years. And, you know, as they say, he who pays the piper calls the tune, mate. And that's basically what's happened there, I think. I'm still not in agreement with Monday Night Football. If you want Monday Night Football, I think it should be as a package, mate. I don't think many fans want to go out to the football stadium in the middle of July or August and watch a game on a Monday night. I think there should be more Sunday arvo footy. I think what they should have is in Sydney, on a rotational basis, at least have a game at the footy stadium or the Olympic stadium on a Sunday, a big blockbuster type game on a Sunday afternoon. I much prefer the Sunday, the day games rather than the night games. you get a more expansive game of footy simply because of the dew on the ground with the night games. As we've heard, I believe that the Raiders and I think it's Penrith or Newcastle was it, are only playing a couple of games with high coverage of the Friday night games up to around 20, which is a bit ridiculous, particularly as you consider the Raiders finished in the top eight last year. So I think they've probably tried their hardest, but Channel 9's in charge of it, and you know, I guess we just have to live with it, unfortunately. But it's to the detriment of the average fan, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think in some ways you have to live with it. Definitely the Sunday afternoon football or any afternoon football would be great to see, but I think it's product of a bygone era, I'm afraid. The TV want it played at prime time. They're paying a lot of money, so they want as many people that can possibly view it to view it. But we'll see how it goes. I guess the big test will be Thursday, March the 7th, when the Roosters kick off the season against the Rabbitohs. Let's move on now to, speaking of one of those teams, the Rabbitohs. Of course, Russell Crowe has announced he's going to sell off his part in the ownership of the team. We've also got an issue with Nathan Tinkler. He's in dire financial straits. It looks like that his company that owns or has a thoroughbred stable at Patanac Farm will be closed down possibly as soon as next week. Now, that is owned by Tinkler Group Holdings, which also owns the Newcastle Knights. So, potentially, they're going to be up for ownership as well as Souths when Crow sells off his part in the Rabbitohs next year. Pete, I'll go to you first. Is this ownership trend, private ownership trend, and their issues a worry, and will it affect clubs' ability to exist down the line?
Well, first of all, I'm surprised with the developments at South Sydney with Russell Crowe. It's always been struck me as a very passionate South Sydney man. And for him to sell off the club, it is very, very surprising. Unfortunately, he's had well-documented personal issues in the last week to 6 weeks with the breakdown of his marriage, unfortunately, which has led to that sell-off, apparently. So I can sort of understand where he's coming from. He's got to look after his personal life first. That's all and good. I'm wondering how a bloke like Georgie Piggins feels about this. He was so furious, like old passionate Bunnies man, very furious with the purchase of South Sydney by Holmes Accord and Russell Crowe there a few years ago. I'm wondering whether he's thinking, well, you know, sucked into his, or whether he might buy it himself.
Look, I don't think he'll buy it himself. He has said publicly many times he's against private ownership. He might be happy if it does go back to the club. It might actually go back and watch a game live. Who knows?